I've decided that we've just started Genesis, as you just heard, and I thought it would be helpful to meditate on the text that we get from Genesis. We start with the very first one. Now, you have to realize that the men who wrote this were mystics. And they had learned from God about the mystery of creation. Just try yourself to just imagine, to think, nothing. There's nothing. And there's God. And God says, let it be. And it is. If the Lord will just deign to give us a touch of the understanding of his power, there's nothing. Then God wills it, and there's everything. That's the foundational reality. Why? After the exile, when they put the scriptures together to preserve them and to preserve the identity of the people, they started with creation. They didn't start with the history of the people. They started with creation and put together these two traditions, the one we're listening to today and tomorrow, and then another tradition. But underlying it is this deep mystical understanding of the reality of creation. We say it so easily, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Stop. Beg the Holy Spirit to open up your mind a bit, to understand what we're saying. You know, and he said, and it was. And so it begins in the beginning. Where's the beginning? Wherever the beginning is. Because there's no beginning until God decides to create. Before that, there's only eternity. Only God living in the infinite abundance and joy and delight in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and there's nothing else. So the beginning is the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In other words, heaven and earth. He created everything. The earth was a formless wasteland, and darkness covered the abyss. And a mighty wind. You see, the great advantage in Hebrew is that that's Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God. Now, the word Elohim, which means God, or gods, literally, can be used sometimes to indicate greatness. But I'm just pointing out to you that this is all right, but it's a reductive translation. Take the least significant meaning. Why they do that? I don't know. Everybody read this as the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. As he hovered with the same word, merahefet, as when he hovered over the people, and God spoke to the people, and there was a people. So the word of God is addressed to the people. They're just, as the text says in Exodus, they're just a mob. They went out, and a mob went with them. And they arrived at Sinai, and God spoke, and they became a people. It's the same with us, isn't it? We begin to be a person in the eternal sense of the term when God speaks and we hear him. And so we have to ask the Lord, really beg him for that sense of awe. We often approach this text having been influenced by the historical critical work that's been done, which is very important, extremely important. I spent my life in it. But sometimes then, we look on this text as sort of a primitive attempt to explain creation. This is the Word of God. Now we have to understand what it's saying. But But this is the word of God. This is not some poor, benighted ancients who are, no. These are the people who wrote the text that is the foundation of our whole belief. The most radical difference between the revealed religion and the rest of the world is creation. Nobody else. And with that goes the notion of the transcendence of God. Lose track of that, and here we are all, you know, clinging to this little golf ball, spinning around in the middle of the universe, and there is no God. We got to do what we can do. That's where we are as a civilization. This is the, you know, why abortion is such a challenge. No, God said we may not kill. Who's God? Where is he? What do you ever do for me? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was waste and void. Darkness covered the abyss. And the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. Now, he's going to structure this account of creation. Remember, he's a mystic. He belongs to a group of people who have worked this out, thought about this, were instructed by God. And now, to try to mediate to us the awe of creation and the authority of God. And they've structured in 7 days. Why 7 days? Because that's the way God said the week should go. Every seventh day, Shabbat. So, the culmination of this whole text is the creation of Adam, who is male and female. That's the apex of the text. The completion of the text is on the last day, when God institutes Shabbat. Creation is not complete until there is worship of God, until God is acknowledged for who he is. This is what drives the saints. Honoring God, overwhelmed by the greatness of God, the Creator. That's why John starts, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Everything was made upon the diaphthuayenito. Everything was made through him. Everything came about through him, literally. And without him, nothing came about. And who is this? This is the one who died for us. And so the text, so that it's going to be one first day, second day, third day. It's a mystical way of trying to describe the awesome abundance of God's generosity and his love, and his power, and his thoughtfulness, and the fact that he should be worshipped. And it begins, you see. So, the most precious thing is light. Remember, there's nothing. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Try that. Get an idea of what's being said. If a bulb burns out, you can't see under the bulb. Come on back out. Can you? Let there be light. And there was light. And that doesn't just mean the light, physical light we see. It means order, joy, rejoicing, light. All light comes from God. In him was light, and the light was the light of men, right? Life and the light was life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. Which light? The glory on the face of Christ Jesus. And the darkness cannot put it out. And never will. And so he starts to order these days. And the ordering is to give us a sense of the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. The most devout of all the scientists who are alive today, most of them avoid the whole question of creation or of God or of authority, or they just duck. Because it doesn't fit under their calculations. This fellow, Hawkins, is it? Dawkins. He just says, the idea of creation is a non-question. Why? Because in my little world, I can't answer it. Open up the Bible. Listen to God. Be awed. The most devout group are the physicists. Because they're always looking for how things happen. And they come up with such wonder. You know, every cell in our body contains all the wonder of a constellation. Just look sometimes at one of those new microscope pictures of a cell, a human cell. The order, the beauty, the one cell. And be in awe. The awe comes from God. That's why I can remember a wonderful experience at Harvard when they first split the proton. And all I got was two halves of a proton. And they were excited. They hit the bottom. I happened to be there that day. And they know that I'm a priest. And they said, is this what you mean by prime matter? The openness. The desire for truth. I am going to follow truth wherever it goes. So, the text. This is poetic language. This is, you know, symbolic language. To impress upon our spirits the wonder of everything we have is a pure gift from God.